Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. SG Extra, only on Money FM 89.3.
It is time for SG Extra this Monday. As usual, we have Zakir Hussain joining us today to talk about what's happening in Singapore and what we should be expecting for the rest of the week. Well, the capacity of the healthcare system and hospital staffing amid the COVID-19 pandemic comes under the spotlight in Parliament this Monday. MPs have filed as many questions on the topic, with daily cases now consistently above 3,000 in the past week, and a record, if you recall, 5,324 cases last Wednesday. Well, Zakir Hussain is joining us now on the phone lines in Parliament. Zakir, happy Monday to you.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, good to see you again.
Must be a very busy day for you today. Okay, let's kick things off with the COVID-19 situation in Singapore. The Health Minister, Ong Ye Kung, saying that the surge in COVID-19 cases has placed significant pressure and strain on public hospitals. So how is Singapore intending to tackle the ICU crunch?
So I think as Senior Minister of State Janil Puthucheary told Parliament in his update today, you know, the occupancy rate for beds is quite full. And I think what they are planning to do, they've increased the total number of ICU beds over the past few months, and they are actively redeploying manpower. But at the same time, I think they are also continuing to ramp up beds if needed. And I think, you know, repurposing existing hospital wards, single rooms, isolation rooms into additional beds, bringing in non-ICU staff to come in, because, of course, the manpower needed for an ICU patients is more intensive than for those in general wards. But it does take time. It does affect regular operations. And that's why they're doing it sort of in a cautious way.
So, as you brought up, the manpower crunch, it's very critical as well. What about the well-being of healthcare workers?
I think it's taken a toll, clearly. And what was surprising is that resignation rates have gone up this year. Dr. Janil disclosed that 1,500 workers have resigned in the first half this year. And that's compared to 2,000 every year before COVID-19. And a number of foreign healthcare workers have also resigned, especially, you know, with restrictions. They can't travel to go back to see their families and so on. And we've had close to 500 foreign doctors and nurses have resigned in the first half of this year. This compares to 500 for the whole of last year.
Wow, this is quite a serious condition for the healthcare sector as well. Moving on now, though, Zakir, last month, the Westlife Jalan Tukang dorm gathered, workers there gathered en masse. We were reporting in the news, voicing out their displeasure about poor living conditions and lack of medical medical help for those who were diagnosed with COVID-19. In fact, riot police were even called in there. Do you have any updates on the situation at the Westlife Jalan Tukang dormitory?
So in a sense, they are looking to improve conditions there. And I think a minister sort of acknowledged it was the result of shortcomings from all parties, you know, involved in the well-being of foreign workers. So as a result, they've tightened up testing and isolation processes. But they've acknowledged that there were shortcomings in terms of safety, in terms of hygiene, where food that was catered, you know, poor food quality that affected the workers. And I think even the handling of some of these cases, you know, the workers who came in had been vaccinated abroad, but their status had not been verified. And Westlife, the dorm operator, had some trouble processing the surge of positive cases that needed to be taken to isolation facilities.
Okay, well, good to know that everything is back in order there at Westlife. Now, one of the biggest stories that came out this afternoon, a very curious story, I think a lot of reaction happening online and offline and social media as well this afternoon. Workers' Party MP Reisha Khan admitting to lying in Parliament about the details of a sexual assault case that she alleged was mishandled by police. Now, what exactly is this about?
So I think it emerged, I think, you know, in August. The saga began in August in a speech on the WP's motion on empowering women. Ms. Raisa kind of spoke about accompanying a 25-year-old rape victim to a police station to make a report 3 years ago. And she said the police officer who interviewed the victim had made inappropriate comments about her dressing and the fact that she was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was a serious allegation, and that prompted, I think, Minister of State for Home Affairs Desmond Tan to rise up during that same sitting and get Raisa to try and clarify it. She couldn't provide the information then, and I think at the last sitting in October, you had Home Affairs Minister Shanmugam kind of again rising and asking Ms. Raisa to elaborate and kind of pin down the details of the alleged incident.
Right.
And again, police took the issue seriously, investigated, couldn't find a record of it, and called her in for questioning, for, you know, to kind of, for an interview to find out more about the case, because I think if an officer were to make such comments, this would be taken, dealt with seriously.
Of course.
And I think what emerged was then Ms. Raisa today acknowledged that this was a, you know, she had lied, and she said she hadn't accompanied the victim to the station. Instead, the victim shared the account in a support group for women who had been assaulted. And Ms. Raisa herself sort of said, you know, she herself was part of this group, and actually she didn't have the victim's consent to share the story in Parliament. And she said she didn't have the courage to publicly admit I was part of it. So I think that came as a bit of a bombshell to MPs and anyone who heard it today. But I think it prompted Leader of the House, Indrani Raja, to kind of come out and say, clarify the situation, and I think refer Ms. Raisa to the Parliamentary Privileges Committee.
So what does that exactly mean then when an MP is referred to a parliamentary committee?
So that means, I mean, they've made a rather serious breach, you know, of integrity in remarks in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's chaired by Speaker Tan Chuan Jin. I think it has representation from, I think, the Workers' Party as well.
Okay.
But it is essentially a committee that addresses issues of misconduct or, you know, other concerns that are raised in Parliament. And in this instance, this was a case where what will happen is, I think the committee will have to summon her and I think decide what course of action to take. Now, as to what course of action could be taken, I think it could be a sanction, a penalty. I understand the law provides for even a temporary suspension from Parliament for a period of time.
Now, Ms. Raisa, of course, have a lot of supporters outside as well who are, well, from what I can see, are disappointed about this. But what kind of impact will this have on the Workers' Party?
It's hard to say, because, I mean, I think the Workers' Party, Pritam Singh, leader of the opposition, has come out to say she should not have shared this account. He noted that the law gives an MP significant freedom of speech, you know, but he did make clear his position that this does not extend to communicating untruthful accounts, even if the motives are not malicious.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very clear stand of where the Workers' Party stands on this. You know, it won't condone, you know, an issue of integrity being raised, I think. And I think, as he said, Ms. Raisa shared, she wanted to set the record straight in Parliament, and this was the correct thing to do. I think it will cast a bit of doubt. I think when, you know, some of the constituents and some of the rest might kind of, you know, wonder about that. But I think, on the other hand, it might actually see support for her, at least from some quarters.
Okay. Well, that's a story that's developing this afternoon. Another one, very quickly, to get your thoughts on this and what they said about the energy sector here in Singapore, with, what, three retailers now turning off the lights?
Five
as of today. Okay, was this addressed in Parliament?
It was. I think the two key points from that were that I think consumers will have to brace for you know, higher electricity prices in the coming months, given the global energy supply crunch. But I think the second point to note is that, look, the open electricity market hasn't just failed, and it's not time to pull the plug on it yet. I think you've seen similar instances happen elsewhere where countries liberalize their energy markets. Some retailers kind of hedge their bets wrongly and end up having to throw in the towel. But, you know, the five retailers account for just 9% of consumer accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They've ported their accounts over. Quite a number of accounts are still with SB or sustainable retailers. And I think competition in the electricity market is set to stay for some time yet.
All right. Zakir, thank you very much for keeping us up to date with what's happening in Parliament today. Zakir Hussain, Singapore editor at The Straits Times.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.